Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A man has been charged in connection with mail theft in the Fairbanks area. Alaska State Troopers report that 41-year-old Troy Toes of Fairbanks was one of three men in a car pulled over by troopers off Chena Hot Springs Road before 4 a.m. Monday. Troopers say they followed the car after two men spotted running away from a row of mailboxes between Smallwood Trail and Jamal Drive, got into the vehicle, which drove away up another side road. Troopers say mail belonging to Smallwood Trail and Funk Road addresses was found on and inside the car. The mail and vehicle were seized by troopers, but only Toes was charged and jailed. Anyone with information is asked to contact state troopers. Opponents of a proposed City of Fairbanks anti-discrimination ordinance turned out for a city council meeting last night to push for amendment of the measure they contend would violate their Christian beliefs. The ordinance was not on the agenda, but dominated an hour-long public comment period. Testifier Mark Evans summarized opposition to the ordinance and the LGBTQ community it would protect.
We hope that we can achieve salvation and eternal life. So this tends to hedge our opinion on this matter.
The proposed ordinance would add provisions to the city code prohibiting discrimination based on sexual orientation, gender identity, and gender expression. Speaker Mark Zweifel said the ordinance should not apply to everyone.
Robust religious exemption clauses must be included. To remove the religious exemption clause would trample on our Constitution.
Ordinance advocates like Hayden Neville countered that the law is only intended to protect the LGBTQ community from discrimination in the workplace, housing, and other public settings.
I don't need to remind you that we are already having LGBTQ folks in our community that are being discriminated against in housing and in employment and in things like getting their prescriptions.
Neville said he also supports language proposed in a recent work session that would protect religious rights.
The language that says nothing in this section shall abridge any state or federal constitutional protections for freedom of religion.
Christians around the state are being rallied to oppose the ordinance by an Anchorage-based conservative. Jim Minnery, president of Alaska Family Action, urged like-minded Fairbanksans and others to turn out for the meeting to speak against the ordinance. The council scheduled to formally reconsider it at a February 25th meeting. A Gwich'in Athabascan woman leading the charge to stop oil leasing in the Arctic National Wildlife Refuge is in Washington, D.C., advocating for protection of the refuge. Gwich'in Steering Committee Executive Director Bernadette Dementev says she and others stood with U.S. Representative Jared Huffman of California yesterday as he presented legislation to repeal a 2017 Republican tax bill provision that mandated oil and gas leasing and development on the coastal plain of the Arctic Refuge.
He is one of our most amazing champions that honor the coastal plain.
Dementev and other Arctic Refuge protection advocates are aligned against Alaska political and industry leaders, as well as much of the Alaskan public who have long pushed to open the refuge's coastal plain to development, a fight Dementev says has divided the Alaska Native community.
The Native corporations will benefit from this development, but the tribes are going to be the people. We're going to be the ones who live with the aftermath.
The division was evident yesterday during a U.S. Interior Department public meeting in Anchorage on a draft environmental review of the proposed oil lease sale plan for ANWR. The final meeting is scheduled for Washington, D.C. tomorrow. The Alaska State House could officially start work as soon as today, ending a 29-day stalemate. KTOO and Alaska Public Media report that Kenai Republican Representative Gary Knopp is ending his holdout for a bipartisan majority, saying he's ready to vote for a Republican House Speaker.
I'm reluctantly doing that. I'm not at all optimistic, but we got to move forward at this point. Hopefully this moves the needle.
Knopp has been seeking a majority coalition that incorporates Republicans and Democrats, but 20 of 23 Republicans held firm in voting for a Republican-led majority. Knopp has said the all-Republican caucus won't function since any one member could control the agenda. He laid out his position to the Republican caucus yesterday.
I asked them to be really sure that they wanted me to come join them. I said, you said you're setting yourself up for failure. You said you don't have any chance of success. I still believe that. If you can't entice some other people to come into the caucus.
Healy Republican Representative Dave Tallarico has been the Republicans' candidate for Speaker.
We really need to get something wrapped up and get underway. So I, of course, would like to be Speaker of the House. I don't think that's any secret. And I've certainly gotten the support of quite a few people.
Tallarico says Republican representatives are talking about whether the caucus would bind its members to cast certain votes. Knopf says the only binding vote should be to pass the budget. The story was first reported by the Anchorage Daily News. The Bureau of Land Management has been catching up on trail grooming in the White Mountains National Recreation Area north of Fairbanks since the federal government shutdown ended. BLM spokesman Craig McKay says a skeleton crew was on hand to plow trailheads and do basic maintenance during the shutdown, but that the return to full staffing has seen more thorough trail work.
Widening those trails, pulling a groomer, smoothing them out, and also getting to a few trails that we hadn't had groomed before the shutdown. So a little bit of fixing things up, making it nicer, a little bit safer and wider so that people can pass more easily. They also have taken down some trees, make it easier for everybody.
White Mountains Rec Area trails and rental cabins are popular with snow machiners, dog mushers, fat bikers, and skiers. McKay says overall impacts to users were minimal as an online cabin reservation system continued to operate during the shutdown and snowfalls were minimal.
I think the trail system was pretty accessible to people and they were able to make reservations, get out and enjoy the White Mountains.
McKay credits the public with helping take care of the rec area while rangers were furloughed.
The feedback that we've gotten from the trail crew is that the public did an excellent job of looking out for the White Mountains for us when we were having a hard time being out there ourselves. There was very little litter. They didn't find broken issues at the cabins. The trails were nice and clean, and people broke out trails that we didn't get a chance to get to. So we were very fortunate, and we have a great group of people that like to share those trails.
Late winter is the most popular time of the year in the White Mountains, and McKay says if there's another government shutdown, it could be more problematic, especially if it coincides with heavy snowfalls. I'm Dan Bross.